Welcome to the IRS Problems Podcast with Mike Evans and Certified Tax Resolution Specialist Todd Whalen. Mike and Todd will discuss listeners' questions and common problems you might face dealing with the IRS.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Mike Evans, and welcome again to another installment of the IRS Problems Podcast. That is Todd Whalen from Advanced Tax Solutions, who you've had a chance to hear for years on the fan, giving all kinds of great advice. And that's what this podcast is all about, a chance for you to get some free advice. And you can send questions in to denverfan.com/tax, and Todd can answer some of these questions. Also, he sets up DIYIRSHelp.com. Again, DIYIRSHelp.com. This is a way for you to be able to maybe handle some of your problems or issues on your own with a little bit of help from Todd. And Todd, as we come off the tax season, I'm sure there's an easy answer from you, but I suspect that there are some people who find themselves in this situation. So maybe we can just get it out there and have some real easy answers for folks. Let's say folks got a tax bill this year. I'm just going to throw out a number. They owe $8,000. Okay. Ouch. That stings. I can pay it, but I want to make sure that next year when tax time comes around, I don't think my work status is going to change. My spending habits are going to change. So what can I do the rest of this year to make sure that I don't have that same $8,000 bill again next year?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it depends whether you're self-employed or a wage earner. If you're a wage earner, you have a job, normal job, change your withholding with your employer so you don't owe as much. So if you go single and zero, maybe you ought to, well, I'm sorry, if you go single and nine, maybe you ought to go single and one or two or even zero. If you're a self-employed person, the way you pay your taxes is through estimated tax payments. It's actually a form. You can Google it, 1040ES. And you can pay your taxes that way. And, you know, it's basically you pay it quarterly. You fill out the coupon. It's got your Social Security number and how much to pay. So I would take the $8,000, divide it by four, and they're due. This is weird. So this is good for you to know. This is weird. The first quarter makes sense. It's April 15th that it's due. So that's you know, 15 days after the quarter, right? Mm-hmm. First quarter's payments due. The second payment is due June 15th. Makes no sense at all. It's 15 days before the end of the quarter.
Right.
The third one's the same weird way. September 15th, 15 days before the end of the quarter. And then the next one jumps to January 15th, which makes sense, 15 right. days after. So I would take the $8,000, divide it by four, and send in four quarterly estimated taxes of $2,000 a piece and not have this problem. It's not just that you get a shockingly big bill, but you get penalized for owing at the end of the year. If you owe more than $1,000, there's an estimated tax penalty. You haven't paid your estimated taxes. So it's a good idea to clear that up because it will save you money. So that's what I would do. Change your withholding, pay quarterly estimated taxes.
I'm going to hope that this falls under the category of there are no stupid questions, only when you say withholding status, single nine, single one, two. What does that mean? What are the differences?
Okay, I got you. All right. So when you fill out your, it's done on a W-4. Your employer is going to give you a form to fill out that says, you know, and it's going to ask you what's your marital status, and if you're married, you click that, and you get put into one withholding. If you're single, you click that, and then your employer withholds based on your single, on your income and filing status. And there's also head of household. That would be for like a single person with a child or a dependent. And that's a different tax bracket or tax filing withholding system as well. So the first thing they're trying to do is based on your marital status, which box do you fit in so they know which table to withhold from? And then exemptions on the simple side, it used to be much simpler, but now there's no such thing as dependents, right? Trump mm-hmm. got rid of that. So it's harder now. Before it used to be like, let's say you had two kids, you're married, that's four. So you do married and four, and that would get you close. But they've eliminated that. So now it's just a standard deduction that's like, whatever, if you're married, I think it's 20,000. And so, and then But let's say that you had itemized deductions beyond that. So let's say that you're single and the exemption's $12,000, but you itemized and you have $20,000 worth of withholding. Well, that means instead of going single and one, single and me, you might go single and three and have them withhold less because your deductions are more than your standard deduction. Right. So that's how that works. They're talking about how many exemptions. So, and the more exemptions, the less they withhold, and the more likely you are to owe at the end of the year if you get it wrong. So that's what that's about. Your filing status, and then how many, the number of exemptions, the higher the exemptions, the less tax they withhold. And hopefully you don't owe at the end of the year. But if you do, they've just withheld us. So you're going to pay the same amount of money unless you factor in penalties. But the tax will be the same. It's just a matter of when you pay it. Do you pay it each week with your pay period, or do you pay it in a chunk at the end of the year plus interest and penalties?
Let's get to one of the questions that you received. And I appreciate the spirit of the question that was sent in. But as we get into this, you'll understand why we need it a little bit more. Somebody sent in a question that says, I owe $15,000. What do I do? And your answer would be what?
Pay them. Well, it's just not enough information, you know, your ability to pay, like, can you make payments? Like, it could be that you just make payment plans, call them up, take that 15,000. But also, I don't know if that's 15,000 from 6 years ago or $15,000 from this year. And that makes a world of difference, because if it's from 6 years ago, your payment plans can be much, much more difficult than if it's from this year. And then I have to know your assets, your liabilities, your income, because maybe you qualify for an offer in compromise, but that's based on your ability to pay. And I have no idea. I have no idea. And I have reached out to the person that wrote this question saying, hey, I need more information, but I never heard back. So all I can do in this case, because it's too general, is point you to, if you go to that DIY, which is do it yourself, but DIYIRSHelp.com, and look at my blog. I posted an article like 5 ways to deal with IRS, you know, like, and I talk about payment plans, offers and compromises, and what kind of fits and uncollectible status. And so you might like look at your personal finances. You don't have to tell them to me that way. You can just look on there and say, oh, maybe I qualify for this and maybe not. But all I can do is either need to give me more information or go on there and see what kind of solution you might qualify for. So I would recommend that. And I tell you what, I'm going to post a video on that same area. Below that article, I actually spent, I did two things. In the past, I created a 45-minute video on how to fix a tax problem on your own. But most people don't love that stuff like I do. So I did a 9-minute video that kind of talks about it real briefly. Yeah. And then if that's of interest to you, you could go look on YouTube. You could look it up. Look up Advanced Tax Solutions on YouTube and subscribe, maybe even. And I have all kinds of videos on there. What to do if you haven't filed in 10 years. What to do if you owe and you can't pay. And some of them get a little long. But I tried to change my evil ways and make some shorter videos for you. So they're on there too.
For folks who are looking at it and saying, okay, I get this free advice from Todd here on the podcast. I've got DIYIRSHelp.com if I think I can do it myself with a little bit of help. And then there's, I need help. What's kind of that line, I guess, that people should look at their situation and say, I think I can do it on my own with some help. Versus, I need help. Todd, help me. Can you give some examples of kind of when should people know that they're kind of approaching that line where they need help?
All right. So I honestly, and it's not how, I just know, I deal with IRS all the time and I know how difficult they can be. And I understand the rules. So I know that it's hard, and I honestly believe from the bottom of my heart, not trying to sell anything, I'm telling you, if you can afford professional help, get it. And it doesn't have to be us. You know what I mean? Just get it. But that being said, some people just can't afford it. You know, all the great advice in the world is worth nothing if you can't afford to pay for it. And so that's where you kind of gravitate towards DIY. If you can't afford it, go to DIY, and it's my best effort. I mean, I go through every line of every form and try to explain to you how to address the issues. Or let's say that you only owe $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, and you want to do an offer and compromise. Well, if our fee is $5,000 and you only owe $4,000, it makes no sense at all to hire Advanced Tax Solutions. In that case, go to do-it-yourself IRS help. And let me tell you, though, you know, I know there's people out there that are saying, well, I can read the directions, you know, so why do I need that? Well, look, in the directions, it's not going to tell you some really critical things. For example, let's say you have $100,000 in a 401k. Well, the directions are going to tell you to include that on the form. But the IRS manual back in the small print, you'll never see it. And I mean, the only reason I know this is because I go to all kinds of conferences. I've read the Internal Revenue Manual, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of pages. I've read it, everything on collections. I've read it more than once. And it says that if you have to separate from your employment to get access to that 401k, you don't have to include it. But they don't tell you that. Mm-hmm. And then once you submit this offer, they're under no obligation to say, oh, you screwed this up. They're saying, well, if you can pay this, pay it. You know, cash, you have to offer your cash or investments, but let's say cash. It says you can exempt $1,000. That's great, and you can. But what it doesn't tell you is you can exempt another full month's worth of expenses. That's not in the directions anywhere. Again, you have to dig into the Internal Revenue Manual. In other words, you have to dig into the law, not the directions. So there's all kinds of things that they're not going to tell you, and they're not under any obligation whatsoever to tell you. If you offer $10,000 and you only needed to offer $4,000, they're going to take the $10,000 and they're going to say thank you. Well, they won't even say thank you, but they're not going to tell you otherwise. I've done this for 30 years, and I've never had an agent say, oh, you know what? If you just looked at it this way, you could pay us less. Never happened.
No.
It just doesn't happen. So that's why, whether you get a professional or the DIY, you're going to get knowledge there that you don't have otherwise. And they're not going to tell you.
Thousands of pages? You are one interesting dude.
Sick.
Well, I wasn't going to say it, but if you want to say it, you go right ahead. Man, that is intense. I know we're talking about taxes, but things come up in conversation that I find kind of interesting. And here's one I want to run by you. You've talked about a couple things. One, the importance, if you can do it, of getting professional help. Two, how difficult it can be getting the IRS on the phone. And then when you get them on the phone, you know, dealing with them. And hey, let you, the professional, do it. But I'm curious, how does the IRS react when a pro comes on the line to represent somebody? Do they like that because they can kind of cut through some of the, you know, cut through some of the minutia, or are they almost on guard? Like, hey, who's this person think he is or she is? They're bringing in professional help. Are they on their game, on high alert a little bit more? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, that's a good question. There's different places to call too. You know, I've called the 800 number that you call, right? And what they don't like, but I will do, if they don't understand the rules and you explain it to them, they get confused because they're just telling you what they've been told to tell you.
Right.
And so they don't like it when you say, well, I need to talk with your manager. But I absolutely, you're like, if I know the rule and they are wrong, I will ask to talk to a manager. But the truth is, is I get a different number as a professional than you do as a layperson. And the people I talk with are more skilled.
Okay.
And they've been there a while. They're not doing exactly what the computer, they know the rules. And so and unfortunately, if you tried to call the number I have, you have to enter a power of attorney. And if there's no power of attorney on file, they're going to send you away. They will not talk with you. So I get to talk with the next level up of people, which mm-hmm. is very handy.
Yep.
And it also makes it a little easier for me to get through. I still have a hard time getting through. I do. But I have a much better chance than 11%.
Mm-hmm.
You have an 11% chance of getting through, and I have like maybe a 60% chance.
Okay.
And we just keep calling until we get somebody. Matter of fact, we put on speakerphone and just work away until they
right. answer. Right. Yeah, well, yeah. I think we've all found ourselves in situations like right. that where we're like, okay, going to be on hold for a while. Let's get some stuff done. So, but no, that is interesting. So it you're able to cut through a lot of the. You don't get stuck as you're not going to get as stuck in the weeds as perhaps you know I'm going to get stuck in the weeds if I try to deal with the IRS. They're, I would think that then in that situation, they're almost kind of like, all right, this is good. I'm dealing with a pro. He knows the rules. You're dealing with pros. They know the rules. Let's get this thing done. And let's get it done efficiently and quickly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you call the 800 number, and a lot of times those guys, some of them are brand new. They have no mm-hmm. idea what they're doing. And yet they have all this power. It's horrible. I mean, it's horrifying. That's why it's so important. You know, I always used to say knowledge is power. And I've always believed that. But I saw the most interesting video. It was just a clip. I think it was TikTok. You know how that is? You get like 30 seconds of glory and then it goes away.
Yeah, you crazy kids are all about TikTok. So yeah, go
ahead. And, so there's a guy and he's really serious. He's got a beard, like, you know, looks like me, but in a black robe and a cross. And he's like, knowledge is power. And I've said that 1,000 times, knowledge is power. And so the queen or whoever she was, I don't know what the movie was. She's dressed in black also. She goes, seize him, cut his throat. And so they grab him and she's like, stop. And then she casually says, I changed my mind. Back up 3 steps, turn around, close your eyes. And they all do that. And then she walks up to him and says, power is power.
that's good yeah,
you know, so that's power, yeah. Will help you, but they have the power.
Yeah,
they can brutalize you. And unfortunately, when you call them, they don't have a lot of knowledge, but they have a tremendous amount of power on the 800 number side of things. So, you know, I don't know, I've always said knowledge is power, and I like that, but but really, power is power. They have
power is still power. Power, yes. Power will always trump knowledge, I think. So there you go. All right. Well, we're at the end of another IRS Problems podcast again. Yes.
Can I pause you 1 minute? If anybody knows the movie I just described, I would love to see it. It's medieval in nature, and I told you the scene, and you'd recognize that.
No, it's from a movie.
It's real. It's real. Okay. Yeah. No, it's TikTok was like a clip from a movie.
Okay. Okay.
I think it was TikTok. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was a clip from a. If you know that movie, if you email me that, I will give you for free any one module. Like I'll give you the whole offer program. I'll give you the whole payment plan program. I'll give you it for free. The whole thing, no tricks. If you just tell me the name of that movie and I can watch it, I will give you a free module, no strings attached.
All right. So how do they reach out to you with the name of the movie?
Todd@DIYIRSHelp.com. First one gets it.
I love it. All right. And as always, if you have any questions for Todd, you can reach out to him that way or go to denverfan.com/tax and we'll take some of those questions that we get and answer them during the course of this podcast. And again, while we're throwing out some of the ways for you to get help, DIYIRSHelp.com. For Todd Whalen, I'm Mike Evans. We'll see you again next time on the IRS Problems Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the IRS Problems Podcast. If you have a question you'd like answered, please post your question at denverfan.com/tax.